And now to our main topic of the night. We told you about the situation that occurred at DePaul University, and we are very lucky to have a star-studded cast with us in studio, I'd like to say. We got everybody from Matt McCloskey, a recent DePaul graduate who's been very active in this situation with the professor, and basically we also have two students here, one who is Alam Hassan, who is the president of Ummah, which is the Muslim student organization at DePaul, equivalent to their MSA. We also have Summer Demer, who's a senior sociology student and the president of Students for Justice of Palestine. By the look on her face, I have definitely butchered her last name, so I apologize. I'll give her a moment to fix that. We'll start off with the president of Ummah, and we'll get her scenario about what happened in this situation. Because as I told you, it happened a little while ago. It was during a career fair where this encounter with a professor of theirs, and I'll turn it over to Alam right now.
Welcome.
We've got two ladies in studio right now, and they're getting accustomed to it. So, Alam, welcome to Radio Islam.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Okay, we have Summer as well. Summer, why don't you tell us your last name, since I totally butchered it. I apologize.
It's Damra.
Damra. Okay. So then you know what it is. It's not that. It was written incorrectly on my little cue card here. But who is going to give us a little rundown of what happened that day at the career fair? I know where was this career fair, by the way?
So it was in the Loop 2 years ago, and
okay.
What happened at that, it's an involvement fair where
okay.
students have information about their organizations to get to recruit new members.
Okay.
And so SJP and Ummah just so happened to have a table next to each other.
Sure.
They had info sheets about their organizations. And Quocheck, the professor,
yes.
came up to the organizations and picked up their info sheets,
right.
And even signed the listserv to be in the group.
Sure.
And he started to engage the students in conversation, and one of the comments he made to Ummah was, not all Arab and Muslims are terrorists, but all terrorists are Arab and Muslim.
Okay.
He then walked up to the SJP table and told the president at the time, Salman Nassar, that there's no such thing as Palestinians, and she responded by saying, I'm Palestinian, and he said, that's questionable.
Mm. Okay, yeah, I know I have a visual picture of this. I'm a DePaul law alum. I've been to that Loop involvement fair many times. I've sat on that table and had to get twist people's arm to join the listserv. But it seems like this professor was almost looking to cause kind of an issue here. He was kind of riled up. He came to you, he engaged you guys in conversation.
Uh-huh.
And was that it? Was there more of an
yeah,
altercation?
Yeah, it was not only what he was saying, it was his views. I mean,
okay.
he has the right to have his own opinion, but the way he went about it and his behavior towards the student, he wouldn't allow them to talk.
Yeah.
Actually, one of the staff members from Student Life came up to him to have him removed from the area because the students around in the involvement fair that were there that day were complaining about his behavior.
Sure.
So as he was walking away, he crumpled the papers that he had picked up off the tables and threw it at the students. And as he was walking away, he made a profane hand gesture.
A profane hand. Yeah, we won't get into exactly, but I think that you can understand what they mean when you use your fingers in a profane way. What kind of professor was this? What did he teach here at DePaul? What was his status? Do we know?
He taught at the School of New Learning, and I believe he was teaching for 15 years. Was it?
Okay. Is he an adjunct? Is he tenured at DePaul? No, no.
He was newer to DePaul, yeah.
Okay. Very good. Very good. So, and then a little about Students for Justice for Palestine, an organization at DePaul, very strong one, has a very good following. If you could tell a little bit about it so people know in context where you're coming from.
Okay. So our mission of Students for Justice in Palestine is very clear. SJP is a diverse group of students at DePaul organized on democratic principles to promote justice, human rights, liberation, and self-determination of the Palestinian people. We mainly focus on promoting justice for the Palestinian people because of the overwhelming human rights violations and international law violations that occur against them every day. Palestinians are persecuted with curfews, their homes are being demolished, and not having adequate access to basic natural resources, such as water. This is just a glimpse into daily life of a Palestinian living under Israeli occupation.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And we're going to keep going. We have a lot. We have a person who almost needs no introduction, Professor Dr. Amina McLeod, who is also a professor at DePaul University, and your own, former Radio Islam host, somebody whose shoes it's very hard to fill as I take over that Thursday slot. I want to welcome Professor McLeod to the show, and we also have the Ummah president who is here, too. So we're going to talk to both of them. I want to welcome Dr. McLeod back to Radio Islam.
Well, thank you. Oh, but I would rather come on after I hear the students.
Okay.
Because I think this is very much in their court.
I'm going to...
I'll hang on.
But why don't you hang on? We have Amina here, and I'm going to welcome her right now. Are you Amina or
I am.
Ahlam. There you go. Sorry. Okay. Ahlam, the president of Ummah right now, which is the Muslim student organization at DePaul University. Tell us, how has this affected your organization, some of the constituents of your organization, and what you're doing to deal with the professor's comments and, you know, the backlash afterwards?
Well, you know, it's very unfortunate that this event occurred and that what Horowitz and Professor Kolchak has said about Muslims in general. But alhamdulillah, I do believe that that this is sort of a blessing.
Okay.
Only because since this has been spoken about and it's been there's been a lot of attention about it.
A lot of attention, yeah.
So then it's also like a good way for people to inquire about Islam and for them to, question why this religion. So hopefully, you know, this will lead to a more positive effect, which
sure.
I think it has been. But alhamdulillah, Ummah is planning on collaborating with SJP
okay.
and doing an event. So we're planning on that. We're still working on it. Inshallah, but hopefully
you're saying it's led to better dialogue.
Yes, definitely.
Within the campus, a better understanding of Islam, kind of like we talk about interfaith relations after 9/11. It's terrible that it happened, but as a result of that, you know, people wanted to know more about Islam and what's going on. So of this unfortunate situation, we have an increased wanting of learning and dialogue within the campus.
Yeah, our university... thankfully, we're very blessed to have to go to DePaul because they've been very accepting and very welcome to the Muslims on campus, especially our university ministry and our advisor Javier. They've been very supportive of our needs. As Muslim students on campus.
Largest Catholic, private Catholic university in America, but really, really responding to the students here, the Muslim students, and, you know, they wanted action, and the university did act. And upon that is what I'm going to bring Professor McLeod back on here, and I want to hear some of her thoughts on the process of what ensued afterwards, of course, after these comments were taken, and then the demanding of action by the university and what they did, and the subsequent reactions there. So Dr. McLeod, please.
Well, I think I'm very much of two minds because incident by incident, the university has to develop policies which are balanced in both ways. We have a teacher who crossed the line, and I think that through a normalized mechanism, the end would have been the same. But we don't have a normalized mechanism which opens the door for a kind of continuation of protests by whoever it is being accused of something.
Uh-huh.
And that's a little bit of what we saw last night. The talk by Kolchak was very different than the talk by Horowitz.
Right.
Mr. Horowitz.
Yes, yeah. Just to talk about it, not everybody knows what happened yesterday. Yesterday, of course, there was a dialogue yesterday. Was it at the campus, Dr.
Yes,
McLeod?
It was.
Between Horowitz and...
It wasn't a dialogue.
Okay.
It was lectures by both Klocek,
okay,
who's under an order not to speak about the particulars of his case.
Okay.
And there was an exposition by Mr. Horowitz on the evils of a lot of people.
Okay.
He decided to speak to the fact that he had been prevented from speaking on many campuses because students and others, mm-hmm, would jump up, cause a lot of distraction. And at DePaul last night, even with some baiting, I think he found most people willing to listen. They may have, you know,
yeah,
even the snickering was not out of order. It was not rude.
Okay.
And that made many of us very, very happy. He talked about issues of a few issues of academic freedom. He did not feel that DePaul was a good place.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he talked about the fact that many of the professors were real scholars. I'm not sure what criteria he was using to judge that by, but that anywhere that Muslim students were, there was a problem. I mean, a serious problem. I'm saying it in very nice terms. But then he went from there to the fact that America had the best slavery compared to Brazil. And then he went to, if we let all the black people out of jail, they would rape, burglarize, and criminalize neighborhoods. I mean, it was all over the place. So we had two very different expositions.
Absolutely. Now, he calls this a suppression campaign, obviously. He calls the denial at DePaul is his deal with this situation. But let's talk about, do you think the university acted correctly and quickly?
I think that the university didn't act as quickly as some people thought the university should have.
Right.
And there's an absence of a mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he in some other places would have been brought before perhaps a faculty senate,
uh-huh,
or a faculty council, but then you would have had a hearing.
Right.
He didn't. I don't know that he had a hearing or who that it was with. I did hear about the instance at the Loop, and clearly he crossed the line.
Yeah.
Because we are bound not to interact with students in threatening ways,
mm-hmm,
et cetera. Trying to think what else. The next thing of us at the Lincoln Park campus heard was that adjuncts and part-timers and we have another category, one-year appointments,
okay,
have a year-by-year contract. Even,
sure,
those of us who are tenured, our contracts are year-by-year.
Yeah.
Okay. And at any time you can be terminated or your contract not renewed.
Right.
So a lot of us, myself included, assumed that that was the track that DePaul took.
Sure. Okay.
Because the next thing we heard was that he was suing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that I want to bring Hina on, too. Hina's here. I want you to hold on. I want to get Hina's perspective. Hina Musabji from the Council of American Islamic Relations, which, of course, was very instrumental in helping out after the incidents and getting and demanding and in dialogue to get, you know, the suspension brought on and stuff. So I want to bring her on and get her perspective. Hina, are you there? Okay, welcome to Radio Islam. Also, DePaul Law alum, right, Hina?
That is correct.
Working with CARE. We're talking to Professor Amina McLeod as well in regards to how all this unraveled. But what I wanted to ask you was, you know, how CARE got involved as well in asking for the suspension and then the eventual stay of that suspension. And also something I wanted to bring up was Dr. McLeod was talking about some of the ways that it's not really for me to deal with this, but the professor, Klocek here, he did not actually do the grievance process through the school, too. It seemed like he almost went straight to his attorneys and filed suit. Maybe you can shed some light upon that as well, Hina.
Sure. I'm going to back up just a little bit just to give maybe the audience a background on academic freedom.
Sure. Okay.
A brief understanding of that, and then an example of a case that does fall under academic freedom, and then as a contrast, the Klocek case.
Okay.
So academic freedom, as you know, is rooted in the First Amendment, and is an important issue for all civil rights advocates, and to be able to clearly debate issues of academic value is necessary for higher learning. I don't think anybody would argue that. And students and professors need to have these big open dialogues, and when these rights are stunted, there's a huge impact on free thinking and education. Students and professors should not have to think twice about whether to express an academic point of view for fear that they'll be forced out of the university. Now, in a recent case that Tara was involved in, was with an adjunct professor at Roosevelt University. He was fired because a student in his world religions class asked a question about Zionism, and the professor proceeded to entertain it and engage the class in discussion about it. The department chair at Roosevelt felt the mentioning of Zionism subjected Judaism to criticism, and that was not acceptable at the university, which eventually led to his being fired. This is kind of like an extreme example of the suppression of academic freedom. The Klotek case completely contrasts that in that, number one, his case has to do with professional decorum within a private university and his role as a professor. The incident at issue didn't even happen in the classroom. It happened at an activity fair, I think I understand. He engaged in discussion, and so it was just a conversation and dialogue and discussion about the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. That's one thing, but this went beyond that. It went to papers being thrown, it went to obscene gestures, and him actually being escorted by security out of the fair. So that's a big contrast, I think, between what academic freedom is. It's not the content that we're debating that, oh, the Roosevelt University case had different content. It's the context of the situation, what happened in both those circumstances that differentiates what a case of academic freedom would look like and what would be one where the university has to deal with the professor's decorum and fashionability.
So do you, my exit question to you, are you guys satisfied with how the university reacted? And I know that your stand on this situation has opened up your organization to a lot of flack too, because of, you know, some things that you do go ahead and support and what you stood for here and what actually happened because of a lot of pressure from you guys. But are you happy with how the university did end up reacting to, of course, a campaign on your part along with other organizations?
We wouldn't change anything that we had done on our part. We approached the university with the situation that the students came forward to us with and explained the situation, and basically left it to the university to go ahead and investigate this in accordance with their policies. We don't know the details of how the investigation went through and what procedures were used, but we kind of put that in the hands of the university, made them aware of the situation, asked them to do what was appropriate in that circumstance.
Okay. Thank you, Hina. Thank you, Hina, for joining us and providing that view and basically CARE's involvement a little bit. I want to turn back to Dr. McLeod real quick. You were there. Dr. McLeod, would you say that did students engage Horowitz and ask questions which point out some of the flaws in the case for a so-called academic Bill of Rights yesterday, you would think?
I honestly don't know. I left right at the question and answer period. I heard about it, and he didn't seem too willing to engage people on fact at the
Okay. All right. And your thoughts too. Now, I know that, you know, CARE helped a lot and he was talking about it. We had some interference in that a little bit, but I hope that the audience was able to hear what Hina had to say. Do you think that, you know, I mean, we're as Muslim students in the university, Allah, I personally am alum, but I was happy to see the university react.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we know it's not as easy. You started to tell us how it wasn't a systematic right away process.
It's not. Yeah. And every institution, whether it's an educational one or some other institution, needs to have policies and rules of procedure.
Yeah.
Because whenever instances like this, and DePaul has had several,
right.
From graffiti against Jews and blacks,
right.
to a bake sale that was considered racist, mm-hmm. you need to have policies and procedures in place, because after something is adjudicated, you need, or there's a mediation of some sort, or there's, like in his case, a firing, the community needs to return to whole. And in this case, the community has not done that.
Very good, very good. We have a caller online, Dr. McLeod, so I'm going to let him come on. I'm told Sultan is online, and he has a really quick question, comment, so I'm going to bring him on real quick. Sultan, welcome to Radio Islam.
Thank you for having me. I attended the event last night as well, and the reality here is the bottom line is that Klochek's case has nothing to do with freedom of speech, yet has everything to do with the improper conduct of a professor mm-hmm. who violated the bylaws of the DePaul University.
Exactly.
As it relates to Horowitz, his obtuse assessments show that he is a market opportunist. The irrational and bigoted rhetoric he spews point to the fact that his only expertise seems to lie in hate-mongering and fomenting incitement for the purpose of cashing in on fear and ignorance. This man's extremist statements such as hate crime is a totalitarian concept, and that the concept of political correctness as an evil principle really point to that fact. He's filled with aggressive hyperbole and barely conceals his ideological hostility.
Right.
So it is very problematic that this type of rhetoric is really, hosted.
No, I think we've seen that, creating a big public issue on numerous right-wing websites and blogs on his scenario has definitely brought up that hyperbole that you're talking about. I think that...
Chicago is definitely for freedom of speech. This is something that we feel that Muslims must... really engage as a primary principle of our American freedoms to explain our place in society.
Okay. Well, thank you, Sultan. We really appreciate calling in and sharing your views with us, and I'm glad that we got that account with someone who was at the event last night. I also want to welcome Mike McCluskey. He's in this Matt McCluskey to the studio. He's in the studio today, and basically he graduated last June, and he's written a book about the history of DePaul, and he has some comments to us about the situation too. I know you feel a little about how DePaul in the past has not been so good with the civil rights of students, and this is a big step from them. So welcome to Radio Islam.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been writing this book, and I've been discovering a whole lot of really interesting things about the progress that students have, pressured the school to make in terms of respecting civil rights, respecting Islam, respecting the feminist movement, a whole host of things. And one of the things that I put to Mr. Horowitz last night, I was at the forum as well.
Very good.
At the Q&A, I started listing all the times that the school has censored speech that Mr. Horowitz doesn't agree with. There was a time in '86 they banned a pro-choice speaker from campus. There was a time where they invited this one feminist speaker, and the person who invited this speaker, Dr. Gray, received 18 death threats for inviting this speaker. And so I listed some of these things, and what I wanted to show is that Mr. Horowitz, he uses this rubric of free speech, but really he's a partisan ideologue. Mm-hmm. He's promoting his own anti-civil rights agenda.
Okay.
And he will defend people like Klochek and their harassment of students, mm-hmm. but he won't defend actual people's movements. And
yeah,
so
that's a good point.
So what I did was I said, if you want to convince us that you actually do support free speech in all its forms, why don't you sign this letter saying that you defend this controversial play that happens at DePaul every year called the Vagina Monologues. Sign this and say you defend its freedom of speech.
Yeah.
And we also have this other controversial professor at DePaul. His name's Norman Finkelstein, who's worldwide famous and respected for his writings on the Israeli-Palestinian issue and speaking out against Israel's human rights abuses. And I said, if you support freedom of speech, you'll sign this letter defending Norman Finkelstein's academic freedom.
Okay.
He refused to sign both of them.
Hmm.
And I think that really just goes to show what Mr. Horowitz and Mr. Klochek are actually about.
Yeah. Tell us about, are you familiar also with Scholars for Peace in the Middle East?
A little bit.
Basically, it's a peace organization. I think they're rallying mm-hmm. for academic freedom, and mm-hmm. that is the other side of the situation. that DePaul first may have argued that this was an issue of professionalism, but it's now, you know, it's coming down to the nitty-gritty, and we're looking at what it really was, whether it's offending students during an out-of-class discussion or a controversial topic or, you know, whatever it is. But I think at the end of the day, we are looking back at this, and we're thinking that some good has to come out of this.
If we did not ask Dr. McLeod her opinion on being listed in his book as a dangerous
the most dangerous, the most dangerous professor.
One of the 101 worst.
Isn't that just great?
What do you feel?
Well, one of the things is I'm at issue there because he makes statements that are not true.
Right.
If he wants to list me as dangerous, in many ways that's an honor. But on the other
in the same side, breath as Noam Chomsky, though.
And Norman Finkelstein.
He doesn't get to tell untruth. And I'm just waiting for a lawyer who will sue him for me.
That would be me.
Okay. What happens is he is challenging our right to research what we research.
Okay.
And he doesn't have the right to do that. All of us have specialties and we're inside of discipline. And we can talk about, you know, whatever falls under our vision.
Right.
But he seems to take issue with that, and he takes issue across the board. I mean, he could have gotten me for being black and having no audacity to teach at a university as quickly as he could get me for being Muslim and, again, having the audacity to teach at a university. He is so anti-everything. It's very, very interesting. I mean, the very people in his talk that he talked about were perfect characterizations of himself.
Exactly.
It was just fascinating. And I was watching the group that came to support him. It's a group that had shown this movie last week called Obsession, which was as vile about Islam and Muslims in the Middle East as Hurwitz's speech was last night. And so the group, which is the Jewish Republican Alliance, came out in, you know, there are about 60 of them, or 70, came out in full force to stand and clap, and he kept baiting the audience, but he wasn't getting anywhere. And that was just great, because it made him lie a little more.
Right, right. Well, thank you, guys. We'll end with the professor's last thought, but there's a lot of people to thank here on this discussion about the situation at DePaul. Everyone from Matt McCluskey, Dr. Professor Amina McLeod, our two in-studio guests, Summer from Students for Justice in Palestine, and Ahlam from the Ummah, United Muslims Moving Ahead, the MSA of the DePaul University, and of course our producers for putting together a star-studded show today. Remember, you've been listening to Radio Islam, a daily call-in talk radio show from 6 to 7 p.m., 7 days a week, right here on WCEV, 1450 AM Cicero, Chicago's ethnic voice. Also, I don't want to forget, Care, thank you for Hina Musabji and Sultan for their comments today, too. Check out all our shows on www.radioislam.com. Your executive producer, Abdul Malik Mujahid. Your production team today has been Camille Irvine and Shanika Bolden. Your engineer today was Jeff Frizzle. Radio Islam is a Sound Vision Foundation production. The views expressed are those of the host and guests, not necessarily those of Sound Vision Foundation. Tune in tomorrow for Aisha Mustafa. You're listening to Radio Islam.